Acts chapter 3. Probably a strange passage for this time, but I was just struck by something our brother Victor said to me while we were standing at the door, and that is in relation to the preaching of the gospel. And I suppose say things while it is quite fresh in one's mind, just having come back from South Africa. And I might just add that only on Sunday morning I was at the meeting in Grassy Park, and some of the brethren there had visited us on some occasions, like Brother and Sister Lee. And whilst giving the announcements, they asked us to bring back their greetings to the assembly at Bexley. And so I do that this morning while it's fresh in my mind, to say that there's a few brethren over in South Africa that have shared fellowship with us over the years, and they send their greetings, especially Brother and Sister Warner, who was with us 10 years ago. And I don't know, perhaps I will mention something in relation to them. But as I say, to say things while it is fresh in one's mind, and this morning, just in relation to what we were talking about, this is sort of maybe an encouragement to us this morning about the preaching of the gospel. We're very pleased this morning when we walked into the hall at Menai, when little Larissa Arnold, she's 8 years old, and she came and said, "Uncle George, I trusted the Lord on Friday." And I said, "Oh, well, go and tell Uncle Paul, tell Auntie Dot, and tell the others." And she went around the hall telling everybody that she had trusted the Lord. And that was wonderful. And it just goes to show you that the Lord is working, isn't he? Let's just read this passage, Acts chapter 3. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, and asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." And that verse 10, "And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's temple, greatly wondering." Another portion I'd like to read, but just on this passage of scripture here first of all. Here we find a wonderful situation. Something has happened that was unexpected. unexpected to the, maybe first of all to the man himself, but to the people around and about. First of all, here we find Peter and John. They arrive at the temple, and this man was there at the gate. And of course, they had the most precious thing. They had the Word of God. And here was this man. He was begging. He was wanting money. And you know, sometimes it is possible for us to see the needs of people and look beyond that and say, well, the thing that they need most of all in their hearts is the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen quite a fair bit of this in South Africa, and I'd like to thank those of you, all the believers who have prayed for us during our travels in South Africa, because there were times that we have seen things that, well, I probably still have dreams about. And Mrs. Menort's there on her visit when she was back there, probably heard of things and unpleasant things, and it never gets out of your mind, and you see these things happening around and about you. But you know, it is wonderful to see how God is working even in that land amongst all the violence that is taking place and everything that is happening and the poverty in some areas, how that the Word of God is making a difference in the lives and hearts of people. And here we're on this occasion, here we find Peter and John, and well, they could have walked right past this man and said, well, we haven't got any coins in our pocket, let's just go into the temple, speak to the people and share a word with them. And you know, sometimes we look at certain people and we say, well, don't really think that, you know, God can save that person. Their minds are so made up, their attitude's wrong, and just the way they live, and well, we'll just, you know, pass on and perhaps speak to somebody else whom we feel might accept the gospel a little bit more and make it more comfortable for us perhaps to talk to them. I was in a situation there, not in a situation, but I've been speaking to brethren, you know, where they had gospel meetings and they had gangs throwing stones at each other right across the gospel hall, and in situations like that. But the Word of God still went forth. Some occasions they had to cancel, but they came back again. But here was a situation where, in fact, sometimes we tend to make up our own minds about certain things, and we say, oh well, can't see how God would perhaps work in that person's life. But you know, when Peter and John came to this man, they went up to him and they spoke to him, they greeted him, they said hi to him. And of course, then discovering what the man really wanted, they said to him, well, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have we give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So they shared the Word of God with him. And when this man realized just what was done to him, well, he was a different person. He rejoiced. And not only that, we find that further down the track, as this man walked away from the scene, here were the standers by, and they were wondering, and they said, oh, isn't that the man that was sitting at the gate? That fellow sitting there begging all his life, you know, people giving him up, just waiting for him maybe one day to pass out or, you know, disappear somewhere. That was the fellow that was sitting at the gate. But look at him now. And they wondered in amazement. But what had really happened was that Peter and John had shared the Word of God with him. They didn't say, oh well, let's just go by, you know, let's move on to someone else, let's move on into the temple. They said, no, here is a man that needs to know that there is one that can help, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they shared the word with him, and this man, well, it made such a difference to him. It must have uplifted Peter and John, but not only that, it made a big difference to the people around about, and they stood there wondering in amazement. And what does it say? It says, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Oh dear friends, let us not be ashamed to proclaim the message of the gospel. As our brother Victor said, we've got to be there. We've got to be there telling people the message. We've got to be there telling them the word of God. On one occasion, I was walking down the street and trying to be very aware of what was going on around and about me. I just walked past a big open section of a field, and there were two people having a big fight. And I just kept, you know, my eye around and kept walking. And the next minute, a truck came by. And this truck did a U-turn in the street and came right onto the footpath where I was walking, right up next to me. And of course I sort of stood there and, what's going on? And the next minute I heard a voice say, George. And I looked and didn't recognize the fellow for a moment. But anyway, and there was a brother that's probably about the same age as me, whom I hadn't seen for 30 years. And he recognized me. And he got out, and after we exchanged greetings and spoke to each other, he said to me, how about a meeting in Constantia? And I said, Constantia? I thought that was gone. He said, oh no, the meeting's still going. Now Constantia is a place where, just below the slopes of Table Mountain, where there were farms, vineyards, and lots of people there working on the farms, lived in cottages around and about, and eventually the previous government had said, look, these people can't live here anymore, we have to move them out. And of course the assembly at Weinberg especially, some of the brethren there were responsible for this outreach amongst those people in the farms. And I can remember spending many weekends going up there and witnessing, gathering people to go to the meeting, the gospel meeting, walking in the dark when there was no light, taking people to the gospel meeting that was held there. And there was a good gathering of people coming together to listen to the gospel. But the time came when people had to move out. And the whole township was, so to speak, evacuated, and people were moved out into other areas. And I thought that Constantia was no more. But anyway, there was Neville. And he came and he said to me, well, George, how about it? Come to Constantia. And I knew that Constantia was a predominantly Afrikaans-speaking section. The people there spoke predominantly Afrikaans. But I said, all right, I'll come along. And so two Sundays ago, I went along to Constantia. And there in a school hall, there must have been about 100 people there. Boys and girls and their parents and everybody gathered into this hall. And you know, I thought it was no more. But it just goes to show you that the word of God, when the seed is sown, and of course everything changed in that place, but the word of God was still there. And these people came back. And they gathered in this hall, in a school hall, and Neville was one of the brethren there who was, so to speak, leading the work there. And it was wonderful to me to see how that a work that I had thought had gone had been revived. And the children, and the singing, in fact the singing was so good I invited them to the opera house. But you know, it was wonderful to see the children, to see the parents, and just to see in their hearts that the yearning that they had for the word of God. There was a man sat behind the piano you know, and boy, he, if you saw him in the street, you'd say, oh, he's just one of those beggars, you know, just forget about him. But there he was sitting at the piano, and no music, nothing, and he started playing that piano. Oh boy, you heard of that story about the boy who played the organ, and you know, who was the master of the organ. But this fellow played the piano and the singing, and then they had a little choir. They had even formed a choir that went to the different assemblies to go and sing the hymns. And the next minute he'd take out his accordion and they'd sing something on the accordion. But, you know, all those old choruses that I used to hear, and it was wonderful to hear it. But the main thing was that there in that establishment where we thought that, you know, God's word had its course, but it was wonderful to see how that work had sprung up again. And the people were still coming. I don't know which areas they were coming from, because they were picking them up with, I was reminded of our little bus here. There was one bus there. There's no limit to how many people can get in. You know, everybody just gets in. If there's a little van, like maybe like Craig's little, that'd be very handy over there, Craig. They just hop in the back. They sit on top of one another. And off they go. I don't know if they sometimes know whether somebody falls off behind or not, but they come from everywhere. And it was an encouragement for me to see here that the word of God that was being preached so many, many years ago was still going on. And, you know, people were being saved. I don't mind sharing this with you, that my main reason for going back to South Africa, really, it was not a holiday, and it wasn't a holiday, was to get in touch with my family, a big family, and to assess their spiritual condition. And I was overjoyed when I saw the results of what had been happening even over the past 2 years. There were members of my family who had trusted the Lord, and their children trusted the Lord. One brother had been married to a Muslim, and his wife, and she trusted the Lord. And when I saw how fervent she was in her salvation, she said to me, George, she said to me, I just don't know why I didn't believe this a long time ago. She says, I've got a lot to learn. And she was so overjoyed with the salvation of the Lord in her heart. And, you know, as I moved not only amongst the family, but amongst others, and, you know, with the situation in that land, to see just how God is working through the message of the gospel in bringing souls unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would like to encourage our hearts this morning. We do live in a land that we should be very grateful for. But, you know, we need to get the message of the gospel across, don't we? And as I see the environment, as I see the situation, and I see the needs of people, and I see the conditions that they live in, I went into certain areas on this occasion that I wasn't too sure whether I should go in or not. But maybe because there was a family member there, I felt safe. I had a sister who was especially working in such an area. But, you know, it was wonderful to see how that even in those situations, people were coming to hear the word of God, and people were coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as we work today and work amongst the boys and girls, work amongst the youth, especially in the youth over there, they have a youth meeting as well, and the homes from which these boys and girls come from, their only hope is faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we have a situation here where we had quite a few worries because our overhead projector was taken away, but I was in the hall 2 weeks ago. It was a new hall that had just been built. They got up onto the roof and took everything off and came through one of the rooms and were just about to carry off all the sound equipment and everything, but then fortunately the neighbors heard, and they phoned up one of the brethren who was living nearby, and they weren't able to take much out of the place. But you know, they are living in situations like that where they have bars and gates and things like that to stop people coming in and taking off. But what I found most interesting was that they had that desire to preach the word of God no matter what the circumstances were, and to get the message across to the people, and the Lord was blessing. And I just want to read another passage of scripture before I sit down, and that's in chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, and reading from verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which made heaven and earth and sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak forth, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Here we find in this situation here the Apostle Paul and the disciples, how that they themselves were in a situation where things weren't really all that good, but they prayed to God despite the threatenings of the rulers. They prayed to God that he would undertake for them in the preaching of the gospel. And we find here that they spoke the word with boldness. Dear brethren and sisters, just a word of encouragement. Let us go on in the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes the numbers might be small, and we speak especially in terms of the younger kids in the kids' clubs and perhaps in the Sunday schools. But you know, God uses his word in many different ways to bring salvation to the hearts of men and women. The few will take that message home, and they will speak to their parents. They will speak to someone perhaps who you might never hear of again, but who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And so as we seek to spread the message of the gospel, not only from this platform, but with the literature, and in many, many different ways, by visitation or whatever, may we, as the apostles here, pray to God for boldness and for his desire in our hearts to see those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior come to know Him. If you know of anybody whom you think, well, is a lost cause, don't give up. Don't give up, because I thought in my family there were a lot of lost causes. But on this visit, I praise God that He has answered our prayers and He has saved those whom we thought would not be saved, and He's using them to speak to others. May we continue with the work. May we continue in prayer. And as I say, my work probably now will include a correspondence ministry to all those whom I have met back home, to keep them encouraged in their salvation. So keep on praying, keep on working, no matter what. Let's try to win those to the Lord Jesus Christ who have not trusted them as their own personal Savior, even though we may think that, well, they've just closed their ears. The Lord can speak to their hearts and He can change them. So may that just be a word of encouragement. And here, like the apostles here, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always, and the Lord will save. Shall we just close in prayer? Dear loving Father, we thank and praise Thee again for this occasion. We thank Thee for this time that we could come together and give to Thee our praise and worship around these emblems this morning. We thank Thee that, loving Father, we have again been reminded of that great price that our Lord Jesus Christ paid on our behalf. We've been reminded this morning of His sufferings on the cross. We've been reminded of His love for us.